the world.
You think this is exaggeration? This I know to be true.
Man Bites God is a three-piece Melbourne band renowned for their infectious melodic rock and their dark, satirical lyrics. Satirical buggered. We'll try it again from the top. Satirical.
That was, of course, the late, great Denzel House, and welcome to Theatre of the World. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And this is our second special, I guess. This will be called Denzel! Denzel Howson is the announcer that you just heard. A big part of Man Bites God and of a band that all three of us were in prior to Man Bites God, which was the Drowning Hitlers. Denzel, would you call Denzel the fourth member of Man Bites God?
I'm not sure he would call himself
before. Yeah, no, he might have some objections to that.
Well, he's dead, though.
It's true.
But yes, you're right. Mm. But I think we would call him the fourth member.
Yeah.
Until we received a letter from his solicitor.
Yeah. Asking us not to call him the fourth member. Yeah.
Although last time we called him the fourth member of Man Bites God, a chandelier fell from the roof and smashed on the stage. I mean, that's a very vague reference to the Phantom of the Opera, but he's sort of the Phantom of Man Bites God.
What?
Yeah.
No, it's not. No sense at all.
Yeah.
That is a conversation that you are having solely and entirely in your head.
So which one of us was he in love with?
Well, I can't.
Was he the Phantom or were we the Phantom?
We were the Phantom. I mean, he was the Phantom. Huh? He's the Phantom.
What?
He's the Phantom. We're cutting all of
this. Is terrible.
What an insult to the memory of a great man.
So what's good about this terrible introduction is that it's a good juxtaposition between how to do radio and how not to do radio. What you're listening to now are three assholes and not being able to do radio. But what you're going to hear throughout this special podcast is examples of how to do radio, of how to be a proper announcer and not make obscure references that don't make sense and shit. Denzel, we got Denzel to record a bunch of stuff over the years, some of which we put on albums, others we had intros to our live shows. Man Bites God did live shows for the Comedy Festival, and often Denzel would do stuff for those, and just bits and pieces here and there, and we just thought we'd play them all as a celebration of the man's work.
Mm-hmm. Maybe his life. Also explain how we came to have Denzel at our disposal.
Oh, yeah, we do that later. Let's hear something.
Right.
let's hear something first. What's next on the list?
It's fully inflatable.
It was performed at Fringe Festival Trades Hall.
Yes. Mark Woodward blew up a whole bunch of balloons and Did you do Man Bites God or did you do
Man
fully
God
inflatable
in balloons.
Yeah. In balloons? And then
was
you
it a
made
period
a
period of my life where I was obsessed with making things out of balloons.
And did you, know, you only ever did it once during a show? Never did balloon animals again.
No, because it went badly. I made a man with a giant penis.
Yeah.
That's funny, isn't it?
It was very funny. But then it was during a Skeptic Tank and I gave it to Courtney Hocking and it threw her.
Yeah. Oh.
Just before she was about to.
I think the Balloon Animal Union threw you out, didn't they? And banned you from ever making a balloon animal again.
Might be the only ever case of balloon related sexual harassment.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, here is the.
So this
Denzel.
Is the intro to Fully Inflatable.
Congratulations on purchasing the new fully inflatable Man Bites God. We're confident that your new fully inflatable Man Bites God will provide you and your family with years of problem-free inflatable pleasure. To assemble, all you need to do is find the appropriate plastic hose and blow. It's just that easy. Ah, here it is. And we keep blowing. And
getting smaller. Oh, this reminds me of my wedding night. Well, while I finish this one off, let's take a look at one I prepared earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, man bites God.
I have memories of actually getting Denzel to record that. And would he have been in his 80s at the time, James?
He would have been. We'll have a little background. So Denzel Howson was my great uncle. And he and I were actually born on the same day, although many, many decades apart. But shared a sort of a kinship in terms of the fact that we were two members of the family who were a bit creative in terms of writing and performing stuff. Although Denzel obviously far outshone me. With a history that was steeped in the start of Australian television with Graham Kennedy and Bert Newton, steeped in radio and, you know, the first ever television broadcast was the Olympic Games in 1956, and he was a part of that, and you know, this amazing talent, GTV9, and all this sort of stuff. But what was great about Denzel, like his inspiration was he would just keep working. He was the hardest working man in showbiz.
Mm.
When he was in his 70s and 80s, he had a little recording studio that he'd built himself out of egg cartons and hope at the back of his place in Malvern. And we would often go round and just get him to record silly things because we thought it was great to have this kind of old school broadcaster voice. He's just got that voice. And so, yeah, we went around and we recorded the Fully Inflatable intro.
And he actually did a lot of the breathing. The balloon blowing up is a sound effect, but he did a lot of the breathing. I was actually concerned that he was just going to pass out.
He really gave it his all. I remember that too.
He performed that with a lot of enthusiasm. Yeah.
We were a bit worried at one point. Denzel was also very famous for ad-libbing, and I have a feeling that It Reminds Me of My Wedding Night may have been...
I think so too.
...may have been an ad-lib.
Yeah.
And quite a good one. There is another clip that we'll play a little bit later where Denzel was hosting something live for us when in a band called The Drowning Hitlers, and we were in the Continental 1,000 years ago, and Denzel left script live in front of hundreds of people.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. Presently, I believe Christopher Flower, there was an outro to this.
Yeah, sure. So, in your mind, imagine you've just watched a young Man Bites God rocking out 12 to 15 songs live on stage at Trades Hall. The audience is, they're enraptured, and Man Bites God walk off the stage to this.
Well, there you are, an almost fully inflated Man Bites God. Guaranteed to bring you years and years of joy. Oh, bugger this, I'm dizzy. Here's the encore.
And we probably came back to do an encore at that point, I
Which
suspect.
Which was not quite as funny as that intro.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be theatre of the world if we didn't introduce a regular segment, our only regular segment on the show. Obviously, this is our Denzel special, and let's do fact bombs.
Fact bombs. Mark's got a fact bomb
about Denzel.
Fact bombs about Denzel. Acclaimed GTV9 voiceover artist and television personality Pete Smith cannot think of anyone more versatile than Denzel Howson.
It's true. Pete Smith, he worked with Denzel very closely in voiceover and on television and probably radio, but would also, serve cheese on Denzel, use him to prop up tables that were uneven. Yeah. He's just versatile.
Yeah. Versatile. Denzel played a politician in the 1984 film Strikebound, which I was made to watch at school.
There you go. It's a good television credit. Nice.
He wasn't in the taking of Pelham 123. That was Denzel Washington.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's good that we got that clear.
Fact bombs.
For all the Denzel Washington fans who are now annoyed. Denzel.
Very nice. That's some good fact bombs.
Thank you. Thank you. All nice 100% work. Factual.
Brilliant.
Because usually the topics that you do fact bombs for are a little bit more specific than this topic. And
this is very
you
broad.
Did very well. Very well.
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
This is from the first ever Drowning Hitlers album, which was called, rather humorously, Two Wrongs Don't Make a Reich. And we got, it's a pun. And we got Denzel to do a public service announcement for us. Let's hear it.
The Drowning Hitlers Travel Tips, Part 1. Japan.
もし君が美しかったとしてもキスなんかしないよ。
I would not kiss you, even if you were a beautiful woman.
君の犬を食べたいけどどうやって食べたらいいのかな?
I would like to eat your dog, but I'm not sure how.
Brilliant. Oh, the little bit of playoff music is nice too. So, is that borderline racist? I don't think so.
Only if you want it to be.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, only if you're Alan Jones. Yeah. And then, you know.
Look, if you're interested in Denzel Howson, because Denzel, what we're doing is kind of presenting the dark side of the Denzel legacy, which is the stuff he did for us later in his life. Now, that is by no means the best. In fact, it's the lowest achievement that the man did. He worked in a lot of other places. If you want to learn more about Denzel, go to tdgq.com.au/dha. And that is Denzel Howson's archive. Wonderful website that has been produced by his son, Paul, that actually shows all of his achievements and all of his success. You can hear some of the stuff from his documentaries from the 50s, from the 60s, hear it from radio, from television, amazing stuff. Just to kind of put a background to Denzel, I would like to read something that I wrote for this website that kind of puts him... like what we were trying to do with him sort of in his 70s and 80s. And it's this. Denzel Howson, talented writer, actor, director, newscaster, and the official announcer for the bands Man Bites God and the Drowning Hitlers, passed away this week. I mean, this is an old article. Passed away this week, succumbing to pneumonia after months of illness. He was 87 years old. Stubborn, cantankerous, and astute to the end, Denzel was planning his triumphant escape from the nursing home when sneaky death karate chopped him into oblivion. There isn't enough room in the whole of cyberspace to adequately capture Denzel's life. He built radios, then wrote and performed radio plays. He built cinemas, projectors, and sets, then wrote and directed his own films. He was one of the first ever voices of television in this country, writing and reporting on the 1956 Olympic Games. He worked at GTV9 when he was starting out, pioneering the children's show, variety show, and sketch show formats that are still being used today. Then he left when the ownership changed hands and became too conservative. He was a man of restless creative energy and spirit with a silky smooth voice, a quick deadpan sense of humour, and an abundance of sartorial elegance. In his later years, I convinced him to work with my bands, The Drowning Hitlers and Man Bites God. He is on most of our albums and recorded several introductions for Man Bites God's live shows at his home in East Malvern. His voice is on the song Sponsorship, which we'll hear, at the end of our most recent EP and on every Drowning Hitlers album in one form or another. He earned a new generation of fans with this work, as well as scene-stealing appearances on The Late Show with the D-Generation and in a series of 4X commercials in the 70s and Officeworks commercials in the 90s. Working with Denzel is something I'm going to miss very much. He was sharp, inventive, argumentative, and thorough. Working together to get a project right was such a rewarding way to spend time with the man. It's clear Denzel led a full, rewarding, and uncompromising life, and yet the loss of career, a mind, and a spirit as good as Denzel's is always something to mourn and something to inspire us.
Very nice.
So there you go. But really, one of the main reasons I liked using Denzel in our stuff was I just enjoyed hearing him swear.
Yeah, I think he enjoyed swearing as well.
I think he did. Although he was a bit tough to work with Denzel because he was just such a professional. So you would put something in front of him that you had written and it had the word fuck in it or maybe the word shit in it or something because swearing's funny and clever. And he would look at you and go, oh, is there a... I could just say bloody. I think because he was thinking of radio. Well, yes. You can't say fuck on the radio, James, come on. And I would say, no, it's funnier if you say the word fuck. And he would go, all right, that's fine. And you just needed to explain to him why he was saying the word fuck. And then he was fine and good.
Yeah.
This is a good example of something that I think he did this live. This is from a live performance. Yep. And if you actually let the entire track play... You'll hear a little short song, and then you'll actually hear a little bit of back announcing from Denzel as well. So let's play the whole track.
There's a fish.
that I know that's a little bit slow when it comes to copulation. His sex life is dying, and it's not for want of trying. He's even tried masturbation. With a female fish, when he thinks there's no doubt, all the fish reject him. Mackerel, brim, and trout.
Arthur, the celibate halibut, is the only fish for me. Arthur, that celibate halibut, trapped in a world of his own celibacy. He's the kind of fish who's never had a fishy confrontation. He's a fish who's never known the joys of ejaculation. Arthur, that celibate halibut, he's the only fish for me. I really mean that. Arthur, you crazy fish.
On a more serious note, let's be serious for a moment. Do you realize that certain companies are clearing a space the size of a football field every day out of the Daintree Forest in Queensland? Now that means that by the end of the year, Queensland will have 365 new football grounds. The world drain on football players will be startling as Queensland desperately tries to fill the 3,650 football fields that will be in existence by the year 2008. And where the hell will people park?
There you go. So that must have been recorded in 1998. Mm. putting that together.
Yep.
Back in the day.
God, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
That was a long time ago. Back when the Continental was open, that was recorded live and in Melbourne's Continental Cafe at the launch of the first ever Drowning Hitler's album. And we had Denzel. Denzel actually turned up at that event. Mm. In full tuxedo.
Oh, what a pro.
What a pro. Full tuxedo, sat at the side of the stage. We put the script in front of him and just he read it off a mic stand. For the whole show, he was just there really doing what Denzel did best, which is just to lend the whole mess a touch of class that it just didn't have otherwise. That was cool. Let's play something else.
All right. Here is the intro to Man Bites God's, 2000 and something show, Rock and Roll High School.
Oh, hello. Sorry. Yes, you just caught me in the middle of kicking out a filthy riff on my axe. I guess you could say I'm one of rock and roll's real stayers. I remember the days when it was all groupie sex, loud, drunken guitar solos, and then nipping home for a nice cup of tea and a drug overdose. Not like those namby-pamby wimps who claim to be rock stars nowadays. In my days, you rocked out old school. Nowadays, the shit is so whack. Yeah. Far out, man. Anyway, I'm here to introduce my protégés. I taught them everything they know. This is Man Bites God. This is Rock and Roll High School. All right, chaps, just like I taught you. Let the funky demon grind tear out of you like a lightning bolt of pure white-hot rock. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four.
And show begins.
I'm almost sure that the phrase "far out man" was an ad lib.
Yeah,
that's Denzel trying to be up to
that's
date.
That's right.
I remember going and recording. I don't know. Were you with me at the time when we did this one? And this to me is the best example of how Denzel was. He's an inspiration because even in his 80s, he was still getting work done. In fact, when he passed away, he had bought a video projector, and what he was going to do was tour nursing homes with old films and old films of television shows and do presentations on old television in front of senior citizens, most of which would have been younger than he was. but he was constantly at work and very restless. And so I suspect, because Chris, you were the person who taught me about the internet first.
Yeah.
Chris wouldn't be my friend until I had an email address. Yeah. That's true. He literally said that to me one day. He said, "We're getting you an email address, or I can't possibly be your friend."
Yeah.
And he also threw out the instant coffee.
Yeah,
that was the same day.
Also, recently replaced your 256 megabyte flash drive. But that's all right. It's time.
Did you really? Is that a lot? Anyway, so... fuck, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So I remember typing something in and then we lost the internet connection where we were living at the time when Chris was showing me the internet. And Chris tried to convince me that I had erased the internet. Which I don't think I fell for, but to this day, Chris seems to think that I was fooled into thinking that I'd erased the internet. And I bring that up because we were over recording at Denzel's house and the internet had just sort of become popular. And Denzel said to me, were you there? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Denzel said to me, where is the internet? And it's a great question. How do you answer it? How do you answer that question? I think, I don't know. I think I said, well, the internet isn't, it's not that it isn't anywhere, but it is a collection of things that are stored on hard drives and computers all over the world. Mm-hmm. And the idea is it's a network rather than a, but he couldn't get his head around it because in radio you went to a place and you recorded and in television you went to a place and you recorded and you transmitted from an area. You could point to an aerial or a thing. Mm. Whereas the internet, he couldn't quite, and he was really angry about it. Like, where is the internet? Where is it? Where do I go to visit the internet?
Yeah.
Where can I go and buy some internet? Mm. I want a job on the internet. Well, where is it? Are they in Bendigo? Where do they live? Let's play some more.
That last song reminded me of a lost love of my own, according to the script anyway. This was years before I met my wife. She's the lady asleep in the corner over there. Actually, I normally keep my wife under the bed because she's a little potty. But she's broken out tonight. Anyway, on this occasion, I was a young man sitting alone in a candlelit cafe in France on Valentine's Day. Suddenly, a beautiful woman started waving at me from the bar. Well, I waved back. She said something very sexy to me in French, but I don't understand French. Then, suddenly, in a burst of uncontrolled passion, she rushed over and threw a bucket of water over me. It appeared that I'd brushed the candle with my sleeve and that both my arms were on fire.
There's a good example of a Denzel Adler.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's.
I keep my wife under the bed because she's a little potty. Was not in the script that we gave to him. And he just branched out. It happened. And you know what? One of the biggest laughs of the night.
Yeah.
What a bastard. Yeah. You're really stealing some thunder. He makes mention of his wife in that, of course, Denzel. One of the reasons we're doing this, actually, this week is Denzel's wife, or widow, rather, passed away this week, Dot Housen, and we send our love to her wherever she is or isn't.
I think she's on the internet.
Yeah, she is everywhere.
She is everywhere and nowhere.
In Bendigo.
Yeah.
Imagine if the internet was in Bendigo. And just people would come and visit it. Internet world.
Mm. Yeah.
Can you? I understand that, being of that generation where if something wasn't physically present, it wasn't anything.
Yeah.
Like, it must be. But the fact that he was trying to get to grips with it, because he clearly went, oh, everyone's into this internet. This might be some. There might be some money to be made. Yeah. I just need to know where it is.
I just go down there and talk to the girl on the front desk.
I need to cold call the internet.
I've looked it up in the yellow pages. Yeah, I just can't find it. I've got to call all the people in the yellow pages and I'll have a little bit of the internet.
Interrogation. Oh, there's no internet.
James has deleted it.
Used to be in Bendigo. It's just a smoking crater. Working with, I don't know, because we used to write stuff for Denzel, we always used to do his voice because you need to know whether stuff is going to work in Denzel's voice.
Yeah.
And my Denzel impression is terrible, but it was always just, hello, well, does it sound funny like this? And then, you know, Denzel would actually do it properly. But there was never...
But you could never, like the thing with Denzel was he would always say things differently to how you expect.
Yeah.
Like... Nowadays, the shit is so whack. He would say... nowadays the shit is so whack.
Yeah, they really gave it some. It's just great.
So, the emphasis was on so. And he went all sing-songy.
I know, it's a strange and yet brilliant decision. Yeah. Like, good instincts. Especially from a guy who clearly has no idea what that phrase means. I remember he...
It was written by people who have only a vague understanding of what that phrase means.
It doesn't mean anything now. But we would have put that in front of him and he would have gone... The shit is so whack. Shit, he, you know, you do a little sort of reading. Oh, the shit is so shit. The shit is so whack. The shit is so whack. What does that, James? What does it mean? The shit is so whack. The shit is so whack. Shit is so whack. And eventually, that's where his mind went. It's great.
The Drowning Hitler's Travel Tips, Part 2, Holland.
Mijn andere been is mijn linker been.
My other leg is my left one.
Het leven heeft niets te doen met chocolade.
Life has nothing to do with chocolate.
Nice. That, of course, was a Forrest Gump reference. That shows you, again, just how old that piece is.
Yeah.
That's terrifying, isn't it? That Denzel has sort of become timeless and we're just old.
He outlasted Forrest Gump.
He did live on as a ghost.
He lived on for that film to become irrelevant.
As a ghost in the machine. I think Denzel would love this. He would love knowing that despite the fact that he's passed quite a few years ago, he's still being talked about and his work is still being played. I think you get a real kick out of that, living on in Bendigo.
Yeah, that's right.
A place that
trapped in the internet in Bendigo.
The internet. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's royalties. There are no royalties.
I suspect he totally understands the internet now. So
it's true.
That's right.
It's true. One of his chief contributors now.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm a voiceover man. I trained for years at RADA, NIDA, and the Academy of Television. I've studied Shakespeare, Ibsen, and Chekhov. But the only paid work I seem to get is ads and voiceovers. A futuristic carpet cleaner. Another amazing one-time offer. The bank that cares. What's next? Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get down on your knees, close your eyes, and pucker up. Because you're about to receive the money shot, and it'll be totally in your face. God, who writes this shit? Ladies and gentlemen, Man Bites God.
Nice, some nice editing work there from Christopher Tompkins. It was just so much fun to get him to say things that were quite obscene.
Yeah. But you see, he puts a lot into the word shit there. Yeah.
He loves it. He loves saying it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's true. I remember the first time that, I think it was on the Drowning Hitler's thing, there was something. And I had to, because I was, you know, obviously I'd known Denzel since I was born. And so having to say to an older man who you respect, I want you to say the word fuck, is really, it's quite confronting and hard. Especially when Denzel would look at you and go, why? Why do I have to say fuck? Why can't I say bloody or bloomin'? and you had to explain to him that today's generation weren't interested in blooming or bloody or fiddlesticks.
Crumbs.
Crikey.
But
once he understood that, he only ever turned me down once. I think I wanted him to say the phrase motherfuckers once. And I think he drew the line.
That was too much.
I think that was too much. Oh, I respect that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of him saying motherfuckers.
Oh, it would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But to Denzel's credit, and this is why he was a joy, he would never just go, I'm not doing that. He would give you four alternatives. Mm. He would go, I don't really want to say that. Can I say? And he would write three or four things and go, oh, how about this? And you go, okay, that's fine. You know, he's doing us a favor here. We don't, if he's not comfortable with it or if he's not going to say it right, then well. But it would have been amazing if we'd got him to say motherfucker. That's how juvenile we are. This beautiful man who is so talented and so amazing. Yeah. And we're just getting, say poo.
Yeah.
Say wee. Say bums.
Turned into a dancing monkey.
Yeah. What? We are just assholes. That show, what was good? I found a little bit what was frustrating about the introductions that we got Denzel to record for our comedy festival shows was, because they were played at the start, the audience were still a little bit restless.
Yeah.
Like the lights would go down and this would be the first thing they'd hear. And so often the audience wouldn't get the first couple of sentences because they were, they'd sort of think, oh, it's still the backing music or the...
Yeah.
Well, because we'd do them in places like Pony generally, which Pony is a rock, well, was, it's gone now.
Yeah.
But it was a rock club in Melbourne that was just, it was an upstairs bar. And I mean, it was, you know, not a sort of theatre environment at all. So, yeah.
Yeah, people, the lights were down and people just kept sort of drinking and so that's right.
Well, that was something we always did, was we made sure the bar was always open during our show.
Yeah, that's right. Kept it fresh.
Yeah.
Well, because otherwise people would go downstairs.
Well, yeah, that's much worse.
That's way, way worse. Cool. Anything else? What have we got?
Well, we have the promo be done edited. We have... and then sponsorship and done.
Cool. So we're nearly out. That's great.
Sweet. We're just over 30 minutes.
Oh, it's perfect. That'll be enough. So one of the other things we did with Denzel was we had an electronic press kit, you know, because we were a real band. And we got Denzel to do the voiceover for that. Now, we've got sort of bits and pieces of it. I don't know what Chris has queued up here, but DJ Chris is going to spin the Denzel wheel. And hear a little bit from an electronic press kit that we made him record for us and probably didn't pay him for.
Just may I have a read through of it, because I've got a clue what it's about. Man Bites God is a three-piece Melbourne band renowned for their infectious melodic... Man Bites God is a three-piece Melbourne band renowned... It should be renowned, shouldn't it?
What have we got?
And renowned. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Man Bites God is a three-piece Melbourne band renowned for their infectious melodic rock and their dark satirical lyrics. Satirical bugger it. We'll try it again from the top. Satirical. From the top when you're ready. Man Bites God is a three-piece Melbourne band renowned for their infectious melodic rock and their dark satirical lyrics. They have performed all over Melbourne and have supported many high-profile acts. They have also toured extensively through Victoria, South Australia, and New South Wales. Man Bites God are a much sought-after comedy act, performing stand-up and song alongside some of Australia's top comedians. The band have released two studio EPs, and I'll do that again. The band have released two studio EPs. Ultrasounds, a lush EP that takes the band's jet-black lyrics and sets them to a score of rich harmonies, funky riffs, and catchy hooks. And Happy Songs, a collection of infectious busker pop that makes hilarious lyric with acoustic melodies.
Try that one again. Lyrics?
Lyrics. I beg your pardon.
That's right.
Take two on that Happy Songs bit. Here we go. And Happy Songs. I'll do it again. And Happy Songs, a collection of infectious busker pop that mixes hilarious lyrics with acoustic melodies. Is that okay to set it up a bit like that? Right. On the second page. They are currently recording their debut album, which is due for national release mid-2003. Man Bites God appear regularly on radio and television. They featured weekly on Channel 31's Darren and Bros Live in 2002. And their first music video clip, Improvise, appears regularly on Rage. They've composed and performed music for television, film and live shows. They're a tight unit, they travel light, and they're ready to perform anywhere, anytime. For more information, follow these leads. This message will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Could we have the this
message? Take two on this message. Are you rolling? This message will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So what are we doing? James?
Okay, so it's just the, they have toured...
...through Victoria. They have toured extensively through Victoria. That might be better. They have toured extensively through Victoria, South Australia. Do you like that?
Mm, that's good.
Rather than they've toured extensively through Victoria, South Australia?
Separate, it's good.
Yeah. All right, tell me when you're ready.
Okay. Chris is ready when you are.
Tell us when you're rolling. They have toured extensively through Victoria, South Australia, and New South Wales.
Perfect. And also, while we've got you, can we do that, the Happy Songs one again? And Happy Songs, I like the way you did it. With the emphasis and Happy Songs, like there was a really nice emphasis to that, which wasn't quite on the last take of it. So if we do that,
okay.
It was really over the top. It was very nice.
Just a second. Let me have a look at this. Yep. And Happy Songs, a collection of infectious basket. And Happy Songs. A collection of infectious busker pop that mixes hilarious lyrics with acoustic melodies.
Perfect. That's great.
Melodies. I'd like to do it again. I'll bug it up melodies. You rolling? This is take 205 on Happy Songs. And Happy Songs. A collection of infectious busker pop that mixes hilarious lyrics with acoustic melodies.
Fuck, that was so
good. I love that. He did 500 takes of saying Happy Songs, and at no point did he put the emphasis on the word happy.
Oh, what a genius. There's a little, that is a big rarity, the inside working. And you can hear, even in that, he's gone, oh, I could do it this way, I'd say this way, I'd do it this way. Holy shit. That's pretty much it from us this week. We'll close with Denzel's probably greatest contribution to the Man Bites God collection. If you're interested in these recordings or Man Bites God, Man Bites God, just type Man Bites God into iTunes and you can hear this stuff. The Drowning Hitlers, if you like that stuff, we're at drowninghitlers.com.au. Obviously the Denzel website, once again, is tdgq.com.au/DHA, that is Denzel's website, which is a fantastic archive created by his son, which is a proper tribute to the man. This is just a kind of a shitty tribute, really. Yeah. But there is he was such a wonderful performer that there's so much great stuff now on the net, thanks to his wonderful son, Paul. This is a sponsorship. Chris, did you want to intro this in some semblance of fashion?
This is a song that we recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, Man Bites God. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Hilton Kmart TK, Arnott's Reflex Gautier, Village Roadshow, Apple Ski, Hoyts, Disney, Crown, Sony, Kraft, Coles, BHP, Boa Pandas, KFC, Holland, Westpac, Telstra, Bonds, Avon, Cotties, Kodak, Pond. This song's got a sponsorship. This song's got a sponsorship. Floating on the stock market. This song's got sponsorship. Member Tampax, AFL, Coca-Cola, L'Oreal, Ford, Foxtel, Vogue, Carefree, McDonald's, Sports, Gilmar, BB, Dunlop, Impulse, IBM, Pepsi, Nestle, Channel 10, Colgate, Yamaha, Huespri, Optus, RPCUB. This song's got sponsorship. This song's got sponsorship. We might even franchise it.
This song's got sponsorship.
Winfield, Tim Tams, Adidas, Qantas, Shell, Cadbury, Schweppes, Yoplait, Microsoft, Triple M, Virgin, Kellogg's, Bosch. This song's got sponsorship. This song's got sponsorship. Shareholders don't think they're here. This song's got sponsorship. This song's got sponsorship. This song's got sponsorship. This song's got sponsorship.
Delicious. Shut up and listen to the singing. Enough concrete to cover your entire garden. Are you tired of regular chicken now with added fluoride? Call now for your free measure and quit.
We're selling out to capitalist market crushes.
The vacuum cleaner that cares.
It's so good. I must be lying.
Just like the one your mother used.
young girls of all ages.
And so that is Theatre of the World, a little podcast special. We'd like to dedicate this one to Denzel Housen and the memory of him, to Dot Housen, his wonderful wife, and the memory of her, and, of course, to his lovely family. You can tell your friends, spread the word about the Theatre of the World podcast, and hit us up on the Facebook and the Twitter and whatever else the kids do nowadays. Wherever the internet is kept.
Send it all to Bendigo. I believe that you can access the internet from Bendigo.
Care of Bendigo's City Library.
Dear internet, Bendigo. I'm James.
Mark.
And Chris.
We're Man Bites God. We'll see you in the funny pages.
Adios.
Find episodes and more at theatreoftheworld.com.
This is Denzel speaking. I've just heard the new Drowning Hitler CD, and it's the most disgusting, perverted collection of rubbish I've ever heard. Especially the second half of the album. Now, if you think I'm going to appear in it, you're only your tiny minds. Now, piss off! And stop calling me.
This is Man Bites God. This is...